I said, God is doing great things right here. And the last two nights of revival, His presence has been so refreshing to us. And we so appreciate the opportunity to be with you, the invitation for revival, and also to speak at this special encounter service. A lot of people doing a lot of things tonight on a Friday night. A lot of young folks could go a lot of different places. And I'm glad you chose to be in God's house. I don't believe you'll leave disappointed, because God always keeps His appointments and He always does everything well. So we give Him the glory and the praise for this opportunity. Glad to see my dad tonight come into the service. Drove all the way from McAllister. I appreciate Brother Gans, don't you? Amen. And I want him to know that, to feel that, and appreciate what he's poured into my life and through the years, and I honor him, and I appreciate him this evening. Go with me to God's Word, if you would, Romans chapter 16, and two verses of Scripture here. The Lord's dealing with me on these Scriptures, and I want to share them with you, and I pray that God will help me to enlighten you from His Word on these topics, and that God will somehow speak to us tonight, not only by His Spirit, but through His Word. How many's glad for the Word of God? You go to a lot of churches, and sometimes there's a lot of emphasis on the Spirit of God, and rightly so. But can I tell you, the Bible said that the Lord has magnified His Word above His name. And so we always have time to hear and receive the Word of God. And I want to receive it with gladness. How about you? That Word will change our life. That Word is forever settled in heaven, and I want it to be settled in my heart. And so as we look to God's Word tonight, receive it as from the Lord, and let's ask God to help us through the rest of this service. Verse 19, Romans 16, please. If you found it, would you say amen? For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise God. Verse 19 says, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Would you pray with me once more as we ask God to reveal His Word to us tonight through the power of the Spirit? Stretch your hands this way and pray with me, would you? Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. And God, as we've opened it now, let it be bread to those that are hungry, water to those that are thirsty. I pray tonight, God, that it would go forth, not return void, but accomplish what You please and prosper where You send. Touch the hearts of the hearers, I pray, Lord, especially these young folks. God, that they would leave this place changed and transformed by Your mighty power. We thank You, Lord, for the grace and the anointing which makes teaching and preaching effective. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Praise God. I want to preach on the battle between good and evil. The battle between good and evil. Often through the Scriptures, you'll see the word evil mentioned. And as you look to this word, sometimes it can be confusing, and it's used in a great many different contexts. However, from God's Word, we see that in the beginning, in Genesis, there was a garden. And we know, in fact, that God put man in that Garden of Eden. And man was in the place where he was in a place of bliss. He was in a place where God's presence was always there with him. And it was a perfect garden, a paradise, if you will. But mankind disobeyed God and took of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This perfect world that man lived in was suddenly tainted by disobedience. And our text here tonight, verse 19, said, your obedience is come abroad to all men. I'm glad for some young folks in the house of God tonight who know what it is to obey God. And as you look at the world we live in, the Bible said that there's many who are the children of disobedience. In fact, the world that we live in today has a complete disregard for parental authority and for any authority of that matter. And we find that all began in Genesis. when a perfect paradise now then has been invaded by sin, and the choices that man made in that garden now brought the curse, and we all have to live under that curse. The devil came along and tempted them in the garden. Eve ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, and the rest is history. And we live in a world now and face the problem of evil. Can I hear an amen? Man's biggest problem with evil is that he now has knowledge of it and has no idea what to do with it. Man wants to take that and handle it and somehow harness it and hold it in his hand and be able to use it at his will. But hear the preacher tonight. It was never God's will for man to be able to play and to enjoy and to benefit from this thing called evil. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5 said, I, the Lord, am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 45 and 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Notice verse 7. It's a controversial passage. It's hotly debated in colleges and seminaries. But verse 7 of Isaiah 45 says, I form the light, God speaking. I create darkness. I make peace. Watch this. Your Bible says, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. You're saying, preacher, where are you going with this? And how does this apply to me? Let me tell you tonight, there is a battle that is raging all across the world and all through the heavens and all through the underworld. It's called the battle of good and evil. Many Christians live their life completely unaware, acting like they do not even care that there is such a battle going on. But somehow we've got to realize, as young people, as young adults, as church leaders, as those who are members of the local church, we are somewhere caught in this battle until Jesus comes. We've got to face the adversary of our soul. I want to take my time here tonight for just a moment and remind you that God, when He said He created evil, now then man has dabbled in it and put his hand to it and has tried to harness it. And through the text of Scripture, you see again and again and again where God has to step in and save man from evil. 1 Samuel 16, another example. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. You remember King Saul. And King Saul, when the Spirit of God departed, the Bible said an evil spirit from the Lord, Brother Jason, troubled him. And verse 15 said that Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God has troubled you. And so it can be confusing when we look at Scripture and we start to see that God has His hand in the midst of good and in the midst of evil. Can I tell you, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. It's not God's fault that man fell in the garden, but even tonight, man is still making a choice between good and evil. Say amen. There's two great prayers that Jesus prayed concerning this topic. He said, I want you to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 of your Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Watch this. But deliver us. Somebody say, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, Brother Tate. That's what he said. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's a prayer that Jesus prayed. In Matthew chapter 6, you go to John 17, and he prays a high priestly prayer for you and I. And he talks about them, how that they have kept the word, how they believed, how they're in the world, and how the world has hated them and how they are not of the world. And down about verse 15 in your Bible of John 17, Jesus prayed. He prayed for his disciples, and he also prayed for you and me. Through the pages of the scripture and down through the ages of time, somehow praying forward as our great high priest. I don't understand all of the scripture, but I will tell you this. Jesus said, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, why would God want to keep us from evil and then allow us to play around with it? God has always had the same plan, has always had the same purpose. Hang with me tonight. I'm really going somewhere. I'm going to try to help some young folks. Amen. God wants us to be wise concerning what is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Now, if you look at the two words, we're going to talk about good and evil. If God is good, will you agree with me on that? Then the devil must be evil. If you take the word evil and you add a D to it, what do you get? Devil. But if you take the word good and you subtract an O from it, what do you get? God. And so there's a personal power of good and right. Good is not just what God does. Come on now. This is basic elementary theology. God is good. It's not just what he does, but it's who he is. And if the devil is evil, it's not just what he does, but it's who he is. And there's a lot of people in my generation that want to befriend the devil and put their arm around the works of darkness and dabble and play with little things over here at the side and still enjoy their Christian walk with Jesus. I want you to know your Bible still says tonight, wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. Say amen. As we look to God's Word tonight, Jesus is teaching us, even in His prayers, that we have to turn from the evil and come back toward the good. I like this idea. Vance Havner said that if you take the word evil and turn it backwards, how many knows God is a God who can turn it around? Amen. You take the word evil and you turn it backwards, it spells live. Brother Titus, the devil's trying to kill us. The thief comes not before to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. Amen. They might have it more abundantly, Brother John. He said, I give unto them, John 10 and 28, eternal life, and they shall never perish. And John 14, 19 in your Bible said, Jesus said, because I live, somebody say live, because I live, you shall live also. Are you getting this message tonight? Just nod your head at me. Amen. I want to let you know, it doesn't matter what evil comes our way. When Jesus says live, we're going to live. Because we serve a God who can turn around and take what was meant for evil. Come on now and turn it for our good. Can you say amen? Now this is elementary preaching, but I'm laying a foundation for you tonight so you can know that God has a plan for your life, and that is for good, that is for right, that is for the things that are holy, that is for the things that are true, that is for the things that are just, and the things that are pleasing to God. The trouble is, God has given us all free will, choice, and Brother Robert wants to stop serving God and get up and walk out of church tonight. Brother Robert, would you just stand up? You've had it with church. You're tired of the preacher. He's not making that choice. Brother Kennard, you've had it with church. Would you stand up tonight? You're tired of the preacher. You're tired of hearing. No, he's made his choice. Amen. We've got people right here. I'm illustrating free will for you. They're making a choice. Brother Robert could have got up and helped me with an illustration, but he just refused to. Why is that? Because he chooses the good. Come on, somebody. And he chooses the right. And I'm here tonight to tell you I'm on the side of Jesus. I'm standing with God. There's a lot of things in this world that are looking toward the dark side for their power. Amen. But I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's the one who has all power. He said, I've got all power in heaven and in earth, and it's been given unto me. Can you say amen? And so here tonight, there's a battle between good and evil. man's biggest problem is now that he has knowledge of it, what shall he do with it? Amen. So Jesus prayed, keep them from the evil. And he taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. We can close the book right now and leave and say it's been good to be in church. You got to face that world tomorrow when you walk out here. Next week when you come up against the temptations, and there's really three ways that the devil moves and works against the Christian. Number one, I find that he does his best to be the tempter. He really does. And he tempted Jesus, and he's going to tempt me and you. Amen. He's a tempter. Not only is he a tempter, but Brother Gans, I feel like he's a tormentor. There's been some times in my life where he comes against my mind and he comes against my heart, even in the ministry, and tries to torment my mind. Amen. There's people here tonight, you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you've been tormented this week. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's something that happened. Maybe the devil is bringing up these things in your mind. Can I tell you, you can pray like Jesus taught you to pray. Deliver us from evil. And just like Jesus experienced in the wilderness, the Bible said the devil leaveth him. I'm so glad the devil can't stay. When God shows up, it's only for our good. I said when God shows up, good things start to happen, and evil can't stay. Can you say amen? Amen. To tempt us, to torment us. One man said he's not only the tempter and the tormentor, but he come to take over. Oh, he'd love to walk up in here and take over this little service tonight. He'd love to walk up into your life and your devotion life on Monday morning and just distract you to the point where he's done taking over. He'd love to get to the place where he could put his slimy fingers into your marriage and start to take over. Come on now. And little things start cropping up and it's not all good anymore, but it starts to look bad. And then it goes from bad to worse. And then from worse to evil. Can I tell you, I've seen broken marriages in just 10 years of pastoring. And Brother Pepper, I've stood at the altar and I've performed the vows for them. And then I've heard them when they tell that I can't live with that person anymore. It's broken up. I'm walking away from them. What just happened? The enemy, the adversary, the tempter, the tormentor, the one who wants to come and take over, has walked up into a marriage. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Amen. I want to tell you, God is here for your good. Amen. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning in him. What he gives, amen, will remain. Let's hold on to the good tonight. Can you say amen? He wants to destroy marriages, ministries, homes, and hearts. Amen. I've seen people so affected, tempted, tormented, and finally, he has taken over. I'm going to tell you a few stories tonight, but before I get into that, I want to tell you, church, your families need to be covered in prayer. I can remember my mom praying over us before we went out the door to school. To that little country school not too far from here. I can remember my father praying over us on Saturday nights when we've had family devotion. I can remember times at the altar when I was struggling as a teenager, and ministers and pastors and preachers and dear old saints of God would come and lay their hand on my shoulder. Can I tell you, families still need to be prayed over. Children still need to be prayed over. Amen. Homes still need to be prayed over. I've prayed over five or six just in pastoring, and people come to me and say there's something going on in our home. There's strife, there's variance. When we walk in here, we all start fighting. When we walk in here, there's problems. When we walk in here, it just feels ugly. It just feels nasty. There's something wrong in our house. Pastor, would you come pray? Take that bottle of oil and walk up in there. Begin to anoint. You may think I'm charismatic by the end of this service, but anoint those windows and anoint those doors and anoint those places where those people dwell and sanctify that house holy unto the Lord. Why? Because not just our hearts, amen, need to be prayed over at church, but sometimes our homes can become a hiding place for the adversary to creep in and do things he should not be welcome. What's the scripture you got for that, preacher? The Bible said, neither give place face to the devil. Amen. Somebody needs to go home tonight and walk through their front door and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you're not welcome here anymore. Your strife, come on now, your variance, your discord in the marriage, in the home, is not welcome here anymore. This is the house of God. Say amen. So we take back our authority through prayer. I believe businesses and jobs and careers would go better if we would pray like Jesus taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. I was working the other day in a home, just replacing a few pieces of trim for a lady, and I did not realize the spiritual aspect of what was taking place in that home till I went past that inner room there, past the bathroom, past the parlor area, into that little area sitting room called the sunroom. And there was a God from Eastern somewhere, mysticism, some sort of a Eastern type of God. I didn't know what religion she was. She looked just as normal and natural as all of you here tonight. But she had that God, are you listening to me? Set up in that sunroom. And there was a little bowl in front of it. And there was raw meat in that bowl. Are you listening to me? Amen. There was something going on in that house that wasn't holy. There was something going on in that house that wasn't for God. It was for idolatry. Brother Lucas, it was something that was, and if we're not careful, sometimes we'll allow things into our home and we won't understand why the devil has come in to take over and take control. It's time to purge the house. It's time to look upon this place where we dwell and let it be a holy house for God. Amen. What verse have you got for that, preacher? As for me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Doesn't matter what you do or what you say, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, then go the other way. But tonight I made my choice. I'm going to go with God. Can you say amen? So as we look around, evil is everywhere. You can find it in a gumball machine. You can find it walking through Barnes and Noble. Just a few weeks ago, I was walking through the bookstore, walking through that area, down about where Brother Weston, can you help me, Brother Weston? Where Brother Weston would be if he was in the bookstore. He's looking at books, walk with me, pal. We're just going through Barnes and Noble. We're looking at books. Over here is the Boxcar Children. Over there is the Hardy Boys. There's Nancy Drew. Go over to the section where the King James Version Bibles are. Somebody say amen. Turn the corner, right here on the end cap, there's some magazines for guns and ammo. We keep on walking a little farther. Here's some books about stonemasonry. I knew I'd get it right in a minute. Some books about construction. Here's some little toys you can buy, and notepads and pens and highlighters. But right here, down about the second little level, right here on this little bookshelf right here, right where Brother Weston can see it, right where some person that's got an agenda has done placed tarot cards, are you listening to me, and Ouija boards, and all kinds of other demonic pieces and paraphernalia. And right down here where this little young man of God could easily have access to it, just within arm's reach. Amen. As I walked by Sister Pepper, I stood there and I turned my back on it, and I said, Lord, help me to stand between the people of God and what is right here. You may say, preacher, you're just looking for a devil behind every bush. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is it's so accessible in the world that we, I can't get no help in here tonight, in the world that we live in. Amen. If we're not careful, it'll reach out and get a hold. Fifteen years ago, I remember my dad saying, you better watch out for Pokemon. What's Pokemon? Well, it's in the McDonald's Happy Meal. Must be okay. Not everything endorsed by the Golden Arches is okay. Sometimes my parents wouldn't let us play with toys that looked suspicious. Come on now. Thank God for the parents who still protect their kids. Some of them need to learn the power of no. Well, why? Why can't I have that? Because I said so. What are you doing? Wise concerning that which is good, keeping them simple concerning that which is evil. I didn't know about the problem of evil, Brother Pepper, and where it came from and all the verses till I done got to Bible school and sat and listened to a professor talk to me about it. Why? Because my parents kept that door firmly closed. Are you listening to me? And they protected me, Brother Robert, and they sheltered me, and they said no from time to time, and they wouldn't let me rent Harry Potter movies, and they wouldn't let me go down to the library and just pick out whatever books on science fiction. Are you listening? That I want to... Somebody's too tight for some of you. Amen. But here's what I want to tell you. There's a battle between good and evil that's going on above our heads. And if we're not careful, we will become caught up in it. And we will not even realize it. There are homes and schools and churches, amen, that are subject to it tonight. And if they would, they would tell you, I want help getting out of it. But I want to tell somebody the best way, the best answer is to stay out rather than to try to get out. Amen. If you just learn to stay simple concerning the things that are evil and go after God and the things that are good, you're going to be all right. It's on the magazine racks. It's on your internet board. It's on the radio programs. Yes, it is. On those websites. Deuteronomy 30 said, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day, Deuteronomy 30, 19, against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You see, Brother Malachi Gans is never going to have to deal with some of these things because his grandpa, his papa, kept the door firmly closed for his daddy. Are you listening to me? And when parents don't keep it closed, I said I was going to preach to the young folks tonight, but I'm talking to the parents right now. When they don't keep it closed, how do you think generational curses and lineage bondages come in, amen, and start working in a family, and all of a sudden now, third and fourth generation, you got a spirit of infirmity working, and you got familiar spirits. I know what I'm talking about tonight, and I came to warn somebody, there's a battle going on. There's a battle that's raging, and you and I, if we will choose the good, choose the right, follow hard after God and turn away from the things of death and turn away from the cursing, God says, I'll leave a blessing for you and for the people that come after you too. You see, Brother Lucas, the devil is an invader. He invades that place called the garden. In the beginning. He invades the early church. He invades the houses of worship today. He invades our thoughts, and we have to let him know he's no longer welcome. This battle that is raging, that is going on, Christ has already won the victory. When he said it is finished, amen, it was finished, and Christ forever conquered. And now then we walk in newness of life. I'm so glad tonight that we don't have to live in fear, but we can walk uprightly and confidently before the Lord, saying, I know in whom I have believed. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, it also says, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Preacher, what are the greatest foes that we got to face? Let me tell you, it's the world, and it's the flesh, and it certainly is the devil. But Jesus has conquered them all. He conquered them in the wilderness place. He conquered them again on the cross, and he's coming back again to conquer the world. Are you listening to me tonight? You and I, we've got to be on the side of right and the side of good and run from the things that are evil and stay close to God, and he'll keep us all the way. This devil, he's an invader. I've also found, Brother Gans, that he's an imitator. The black preacher was preaching. He said, the devil's an imitator. You got fried taters. You got mashed taters. He said, but the devil's an imitator. He's never created anything in his life. He's been a failure from the beginning. He's fallen He ascended up to the heights of heaven, created to lead worship, and he couldn't even get that right. And when he fell a long ways. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's what your Bible says. And a third of the angels fell with him. Now then, those third of the angels are disembodied spirits that have become taken on demon form, if you will, that run this earth looking in dry places, seeking and searching for someone to embody that evil spirit. Thank God, God still got two thirds of the angels. I said, thank God, he still got the higher number. Amen. God, I said, the good is always going to win over evil. The devil wants to be an imitator, but God's a creator. Praise God. He's the one who holds all power. And I want to tell you what they told us in Bible school, Brother Kennard. You can probably quote it. The creator sets the rules. Praise God. I said the creator still sets the rules. The devil may imitate it, but God is the one who said, I can create it. This last one, this is really where it gets hard. Because the devil is an intimidator. Can you help me, Brother Tate? Brother Tate's trying to serve God. Brother Tate's really been faithful to church. Brother Tate is doing whatever he's asked to do by his pastors. Brother Tate's praying at the altar. But that don't stop the devil from being an intimidator. Brother Tate's got his hands up and he's praising the Lord. You don't have to look at them, just look toward me. I'll be the devil, okay? Here's what the devil does. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get in your personal space, but this is what the devil does. And the devil intimidates you. Get right up in your face. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Brother Tate. And for a strong Christian, whom resists steadfast, resists the devil and he will flee from you. You've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now then you're going to be exalted in due time. That's what your Bible says. But then you find that the devil comes back. And again and again and again, just like he came to Jesus, he keeps coming back to me and you. I get tired of him intimidating me sometimes. And so I have to go back to the scripture of God's word that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. There's something bigger. There's something stronger. There's something more powerful than evil. Evil, and that is good. And if it's good, it must be God. Thank God. He's the one who is in control of my life. I've got the victory in Jesus' name. An intimidator. And he intimidates young people. You'll never serve God. You'll never get it right. You'll never have a ministry. I was listening to a preacher one time and he was reading out of the book of Revelation. He was talking about where it said he's the accuser of the brethren. And he titled his message, Brother Jason, he said, the accuser is the loser. I've done read the back of the book and we win. Amen. It's just about getting from here to there. Christ has already won the war. We've just got a few more pages to turn. It's just a battle between here and there. And thanks be to God, he's going to help us to triumph through the power of Christ. And so don't be intimidated by him, young person. Stand up on your feet and serve God. Be that man, that woman of God that you've been called to be. John 3:19, Jesus said, light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Oh, well, you know, man is essentially good. You get him in his environment, he knows. I know what they're teaching in some of these colleges. I was sitting in a college the other day and they were talking about how all you have to do is just help yourself out of your predicament and out of your circumstance. And it's not your fault that it happened to you. If you just think good things and be happy and put your trust in the universe and Mother Nature and Father Time, then you can make it. And I'm thinking, this is hogwash. Thank God I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and of earth. I'm not turning to the left nor to the right. I'm not hiding in the darkness, but I'm walking in the light. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's people that hide in the dark. Amen. Because their deeds are evil. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My brothers and sisters, let us walk in the good. Let us walk in the light of God's love. Can you say amen? Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. What's wrong? Well, the church is what's wrong in the world today. We've got to deal with these religious fanatics and transgenderism. But we're going to make that right. It's going to be the law of the land. And if these people over here who are the church and religious fanatics, if they speak against one word of the things that we're doing, then they're going to be bad and evil. Because we're good. We want equality. We want the same for every man. And so how you see the world is twisting and changing now. And even in the church, they're starting to legalize it and allow it. Heaven help us. There's still a difference between wrong and right. There's still a difference between what is black and what is white. The Bible tells us, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What fellowship hath light, come on now, with darkness? There's still a difference for God's people. He said, thou shalt teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. There's still a dividing line of the truth of God's word. And I want to stand on the side of good. They can call me a fanatic, Brother Wren, if they want to. But at the end, I'm going to stand with the God who has all power. Amen. Man may do what he wants to do, but God is still in control. So take heart, my brothers and sisters. We are living in an hour. Those that call evil good and good evil. Romans 12, abhor that which is evil. Romans 12, 21, be not overcome of evil. But I like this. But overcome, say it with me, evil with good. This is a very simplistic message tonight, but many of us miss it in the world that we live in, because we've gotten to the place, not just in the world, but in the church, where we tolerate evil. We've got churches that are allowing witchcraft on their platform. We've got churches that are bringing in all types of entertainments and things into their youth groups. Thank God for a youth group that the emphasis is on an encounter with God. Amen. Saul lost his anointing, and the first thing he wanted to do was not take the Urim and the Thummim. He didn't want to take the priestly ephod. He didn't want to have a dream from God. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 28, he didn't talk to the priest, but he went straight to a witch at Endor. Are you listening to me? And he inquired for an encounter. I want to have an encounter that is blessed by God, that is good, that is right, that is holy. Why? Because there's a right way to come to God, and there's a wrong way to come to God. I want you to know, He creates evil. He's got power. He's the one in control. And there's a balance. And I'm so glad God's the one who understands it all. But I want to be standing on His side at the end of the battle. How about you? On His side. Brother Jason, I'm with Him. That was so good the other night. Job 1. These are just scriptures in your Bible. A man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. What does that mean, preacher? That's a King James Version word. Eschewed evil. Brother Gaines, it means he turned away from it. If evil was passing him, he took a detour from it. If evil was coming toward him, he avoided it. We need some young folks who say, I'm going to avoid what the devil's been trying to tempt me with in my life. Sometimes it means avoiding certain websites. Sometimes it means avoiding certain types of clothing. Sometimes it means avoiding certain games and certain things on our phones that are so easy to hide and password protect and put to the side and keep an app. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, what we need is a generation of young people who understand there's a battle between good and evil. And in this battle, you want to be the one that's fearing God, the one that's eschewing evil, not excusing it, but eschewing it, praise God, turning away from it and saying, you know what, I want no part of it because I belong to God. Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles 4, thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Yeah. What was Jabez saying? In short, Brother Doug Pepper, Pastor Pepper, I believe he's saying there's some things it's better not to know. There's some things it's good that I grew up not knowing about. Of necessity, as we become adults, Brother Jason, we begin to learn things because the world that we live in. But in a child, in our purity and in our innocency and in our youth, we were sheltered, we were kept, we were protected. Thank God for men of God who stood between us and evil and kept us and watched over us and preached the word to us and warned us that there was something that would get a hold of us and draw us away. You don't think it could happen to you? It happened to Esau. The Bible said Esau had an evil heart of unbelief, and before you know it, he turned away from the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, would you hold on to God's word tonight and choose that which is good and say, Lord, keep me from the evil. God will not take part in it. Psalm 5:4, thou art a God who hath not pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Amen. God will not take part in it. However, Proverbs says, the eyes of the Lord, 15:3, Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Somebody say every place. Walked up the sidewalk, and on the back side of the sign of the Calvary Lighthouse Church said, I've got my eye on you, God. Felt conviction hit my heart. Do I look okay? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But Proverbs 20 of our text we just read said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, watching the serial killer in the middle of the night doing his dastardly deed, watching the saint on Sunday morning doing the thing for God that they've been called to do, watching the man in jail plotting his next revenge and his murder that he has planned, and watching the missionary on foreign lands, are you listening, doing what God has commanded them. We serve a God who sees it all and knows it all and helps us through it all. Thank God we're not standing alone tonight, but I want to be with the one who is on the Lord's side when judgment comes to the house of God, when evil has to be stood before God and judged. I want to be on God's side. How about you? 1 Peter 3:11, let them eschew evil and do good, let them seek peace and ensue it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face, Brother Gans, of the Lord is against them that do evil. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord against me. Against me. Her name was Heather. 29 years old. Came to us from the state of Utah. Started coming to our church for several services. One morning, several years ago, I got a call from one of her roommates from a duplex house where she lived in Owine, Iowa. They said, Pastor, please pray. There's a devil that's been moving in our house. Heather is snapping and snarling, biting, clenching her teeth, spitting and kicking and growling at us. Her voice has changed. Sometimes it's her and sometimes it's this weird, evil voice. Can you help us, Pastor? Are you listening to me? Battle. Heather had been raped repeatedly as a child by her family. She'd been abused by her grandparents during family gatherings while many drank beer and watched. This young lady suffered such unspeakable things that I cannot mention them to you tonight. As she was a teenager, she struggled in school, attended the Mormon church, and followed its teachings. But she began cutting in the quiet in the corner of her bedroom, on her hands and on her legs and on her arms. She took razor blades and cut herself. She purchased pornographic magazines and kept them in her room. BDSM and some of the other open doors through pornography caused her to be bound. There were walls in her room that had posters of rock and roll groups like Nirvana, Black Sabbath, Kiss, Metallica, Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd, Def Leppard, and Guns N' Roses. Heather told me later on, she said, I began to trust the dark side. somewhere in there, somebody's going to take care of me. Give me power and help me. She came to church. She came to that prayer room for deliverance. She was seeing and hearing and feeling evil spirits at work in her life. Several times in the night, there had been a spirit that came to her, and she said that that spirit named itself Lucille. I wasn't there. I didn't experience it. Sister April, this woman was demon-possessed. Lucille came to her, this spirit, and told her, "I'll now be taking over your body." Heather would say no and cover her face with a pillow and try to go back to sleep. The doors of her closet and the dressers, her drawers in her dresser, the books on her shelf, and her room would begin to vibrate, and the blinds would move as if a wind was blowing through there. Doors would open and shut as if something was moving through that room. One night it got so bad and so noisy during one of these episodes, her roommates peeked open the door of her room and took pictures of Heather as she levitated off of her bed 12 to 16 inches. They called me for prayer, and I told them, "You drop Heather off at the church, and I'll call you when you can pick her up." Heather got to the church. I called Sister Judy Brackett. I called Sister Gladys Heasley. I called Sister Mindy Gans. And I needed some people to help me pray. Say amen. I needed some help. And I believed that Jesus had all power. And so as I was watching and waiting, standing at the door, believing Brother Gans, asking God to do the work that I knew I could not do, Heather entered that door. She was crying uncontrollably, mascara running down her face. Her hair was a mess. And as she walked through that door, she started to blow. She started to hiss. She started to growl. She started to make these guttural noises, Brother Kennard. And I felt a little bit of fear rise up in me because I didn't know what I was dealing with. Amen. They don't teach you this stuff in Bible school. How are you going to deal with that? Lord, I need you, and I need you right now. Can I get a witness here tonight? Amen. That demon was manifesting right there in the hall. We hadn't made it to the prayer room yet, and the ladies were just starting to arrive. I said, "Lord, we've got to cast her out. Heather, do you want to be free?" She calmed down and said, "Yes, Pastor, I want to be free." He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I told her to sit down on that bench and be still in the prayer room. I anointed her with oil on top of her head and took authority in the name of Jesus over every devil and demon spirit in her life and also in that room. I told the devil, "By the authority of Jesus Christ, you're coming out. Your day is done. You have no more power or strength over this young lady." I told them other ladies, Sister Judy, Sister Mindy, and Sister Gladys, to gather around her and pray in intercession. And then I spoke to that demon spirit that called itself Lucille. And I told her, I said, "Lucille, you no longer have any power or authority over Heather. And I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Come up and come out." And wouldn't you know, the power of Jesus is still just as great as it was in the days of the Bible, in the days of God's Word. As I continued to pray, I said, "Now bring up every foul spirit that you brought with you, every unclean thing, every bondage and generational curse. Come out in Jesus' name. And Lucille, the blood of Jesus is against you." Amen. I was there. It was just like it was last night. I could remember. I said, "Out, out, out." And that demon came out. Amen. Heather grabbed her throat and she began to choke and make noises and try to spit and try to cough and reach for a Kleenex. And as soon as she could get her voice, you know what she was saying? "Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus." Amen. I'm here to tell somebody there's a battle going on between good and evil. Amen. But you don't have to be overcome with the evil, but you can overcome evil with good. Can you say amen? Heather was free. She knelt at the bench in the prayer room and prayed to accept Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She cried. She prayed, asking Him to forgive her of all of her sins. She confessed Him as Lord. Heather got saved. Heather's still saved. She's going to a Baptist church in Utah with some Christian friends that she met online. The bondages, the habits, the addictions BDSM, pornographic material, rock and roll, drugs, you name it, it's gone. How is it gone? Because Jesus still wins the battle for those that believe. Amen. It's not about Brother James Gans. It's about those who are willing to take God at His word and tell everybody that they know you don't have to be overcome with evil, but you can overcome evil with good. Amen. God has good things for us in the church. Amen. He said, "You shall cast out devils. You shall heal the sick. And if you drink anything, the deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." It's God's will. It's God's will. And I can remember, just like it was yesterday, standing at that car lot, a man in our church, he bought that car, that SUV, for that young lady who had nothing. The ladies in our church gave her clothes, gave her shoes, gave her food, packed up that SUV that generous man in our church had bought for her, and she headed for Utah. What are you saying, preacher? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have just become new. Oh, thank God. I believe God can do it for somebody here tonight. I was listening to Brother Zane Estes one time. He was preaching on "We're Fighting Foul Spirits." Amen. That was the title of his message. And he talked about people who were possessed. And that's reality. There are some people who are possessed. But there's also people who are oppressed. One of his points was dealing with people in the church who struggle and fight and battle and in a conflict of oppression. Can I tell you, God can still turn the oppressor? God can still set you free if you're depressed or oppressed or just pressed, whatever it is. Paul said, "I was pressed out of measure. I felt like quitting, but the Lord, no man stood by me, but the Lord stood by me." I want to tell somebody at Calvary Lighthouse on this encounter service, amen, there's enough good and there's enough God in this revival for you and I to walk away and say, "You know what? I'm not bound by the things I once was bound with. In fact, I have been set free." He talked about obsession. People literally obsessed with evil, fascinated by it. There's a man in our church that he's now faithful every Sunday. He rides a bus to church. Let me tell you about Brother Greg Baroki. This man, he came to us from the dark side. He had gotten involved in witchcraft, been involved in playing with the occult, invited as a young boy through his curiosity to witness some of the seances and some of the things that were being done in that little room where he was. Can I tell you, it's still wickedness. It's still something that causes an abomination toward God. Brother Greg Baroki was on his way to being a 9th level Ouija board master. He had gotten involved with tarot cards, started playing different games. As a teenager, he played a game called Dungeons and Dragons. He got hooked up with that and played it. Brother Greg came to us at church and he said, "Pastor, I'm a Satanist, but I want to get saved." Had an upside down cross hanging from his necklace. Had a pentagram ring on his hand. He had achieved the leadership status in his occult organization. He was on his way later that week, had an appointment to go to Cedar Rapids, start animal sacrifices. Are you listening to me? And his girlfriend said, "Greg, why don't you go to church with me?" He said, "I went to get her off my back." Greg's in church every Sunday. I still haven't been able to preach the gauges out of his ears or the tattoos off his arm. But you want to know who's the last person right here at the altar praying just like this? You know what he told me a couple Sundays ago, Brother Matt? He said, "I'm on the other side now. I'm on the winning team." He said, "I was so in a place, Brother Robert, where," he said, "I'd lay down at night and I'd see things. And I'd get up and I'd walk to the kitchen and I'd see things. And I'd come back and I'd lay down and I'd see things. And it would torment my mind. And I thought somehow this is a part of what I'm supposed to be doing. But yet it didn't feel good. Can I tell you, when we come to church, we don't need to take it for granted. When the presence of God brings a peace and a solace and a help. Come on, somebody. And our spirit is renewed and our mind is brought to a calm. Amen. There is things that happen in the supernatural realm, in the dark side, that torment and hurt and wound people. Amen. But so it is on the side of good and the side of right, that God wants to give you good things. Praise God. Oh yeah. Now he's at church every Sunday. He prayed, asked Jesus into his heart, took off that gold pentagram ring and handed it to him. Pastor, would you destroy this? Took off that necklace, handed it to him. Don't throw it away. Destroy it. So we did just that. What are you saying? I'm saying God still sets people free. Greg is seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He feels like he's got to earn it. He's doing his best, Brother Lucas, to pray and receive. Can I tell you, God is still saving people. One preacher said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. Taking them from the lowest, deepest, darkest pit of sin. And I realize that is not the case, Brother Kennard, with everyone that comes in. Not everybody belongs to the devil, Brother Tate, when they come in to the church. Some people are just sinners and they're lost and they need saving. But for everyone that needs a rescue, there's a rescue story. I said, there's someone who can change the chapter in your life. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Take heart, my friends. Take courage tonight. If you stay on the side of right and the side of good, God will keep you through this evil hour. Can you say amen? You look around everywhere. 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. Mysterious verse. Many people serve the almighty dollar, but yet it does not satisfy. Many have coveted after, erred from the faith, Timothy said, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, I want to eschew you and come toward the King. 1 Thessalonians 5, as I hurry and Mindy comes to the music, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Somebody say, hold fast. I'm going to hold on to what God did for me at Encounter. I'm not going to lose what He's done for me at camp meeting last year. Come on now. We're going to have just a moment of altar service. But I'm going to hold fast to the teachings that my pastor has been sharing with me. And my pastor's wife has been sharing with me. And my youth pastor has been sharing with me. Why? Because I have to avoid those things that are evil. But I just can't walk my own path. I've got to hold fast to those things that are good. Hear the preacher tonight. You better hold on. Amen. There's a world that's trying to get a hold of you. There's something that's reaching out and trying to get a hold of you. You better hold on to God. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every appearance. Brother Gans, if it even looks like it. Okay. I was in the store the other day. And I was walking down and wanted some bubble gum. Some of you don't think this is silly. As a boy, we used to go to the old Swifty Mart. We get the double bubble. Single piece. Sometimes, Brother Kennard, we get that round deal of bubble gum. It's called bubble gum tape. Just roll it, big as piece as you want. Blessings of the Lord. Just bubble gum tape from now until Jesus comes. Brother Gans, I looked at that. Don't think this is silly and funny and ridiculous. But I picked up that bubblegum tape and I was walking to the counter. My buddy that rides in the company truck with me reached for a can of Skull. And listening, and the Lord spoke my heart and said, the very appearance. It's bubblegum tape. But if it goes in my back pocket, it looks just like something that some of them boys are chewing and doing. Are you listening? And they don't know the difference between that
said, shun the very appearance of evil. I want to tell a young person tonight, if you're messing with the things on the dark side, if you're playing around and listening to what the devil's been doing in your life and trying to tempt you with, tonight's the night to make a firm commitment to the Lord and draw the line and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to eschew those things that are evil, and I'm going to cleave to those. Abstain from every appearance of evil as you stand up on your feet tonight. Amen. To abstain, to withdraw from, to go without. Amen. There's some things that I can do without. I can do without. Amen. Palm reading and online gaming of Dungeons and Dragons. I can do without witchcraft and talking to ghosts and ghouls. I can do without being a part of what is being promoted among young people today. I said, what I want is to get close to God and have an encounter on a Friday night that when I walk away, I can say, wow, that was a spiritual, supernatural event that cannot be condemned. It can't be looked upon and said, it's not of God, because it's good. And if it's good, it must be from God. My heart's so burdened for young people. As you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight, 1 Peter said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Because I've preached to kids before, and I've watched them go out and get on drugs, and I've watched them go out and commit suicide, and I've watched them go out and give in to immorality. And tonight some of them are homosexuals, and some of them tonight are sitting on the side of the road drunk out of their mind. What are you saying, preacher? I went to youth rally with them, and I don't want that to be you. You've got to understand there's a battle between good and evil. And that's a battle that Satan is raging against your soul. He wants you. He's not playing games. He's playing for keeps. And that's why the preacher's telling you tonight, it's time to be wise, young person, to that which is good, and simple concerning that which is evil. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've delivered what you laid on my heart. Tonight I pray, God, that you would help young men and young ladies to have an encounter with you before they leave this place. They can say, that was supernatural. That was spiritual. That was so good. That must have been from God. Oh, Lord, the things of this world are so temporary. But the things that you offer will last. I pray, oh God, you'll work in the hearts of a young lady tonight or a young man. God, they would be kept by the power of God. Deliver us from evil tonight, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who is it, young lady? Who is it? You're standing there tonight. God's dealing with you. I don't know your name. Say, God's been drawing me. God's been dealing with me. I want to choose the good. I want to choose the right. I've been tempted. I've been tested. But I want to make my choice for God tonight. I want to make a commitment for the good and for the right. Can I see your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Yes, thank you for that hand, young lady. I choose the good tonight. Yes, I see that hand. Thank God, right there. Yes, hands going up. Glory to God. How about it, young man? You're here tonight. You say, preacher, pray for me. I've been struggling with some of the things you talked about tonight. But tonight I'm going to draw a line. Tonight I'm going to get victory over this. Tonight is the night where things are going to change. I'm going to choose the right. I'm going to choose the good. I want God's blessing on my life. Is that you? Can I see your hand? Thank God. Yes, young man. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Yes, yes. Yes, I see that hand. Those hands in the back. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, Lord, that you would put courage in their hearts to make a commitment to you tonight that will last. Father, something that would change in their life, to be transformed for the good and for the right. As we step out of our pews and make our way to this front, as we kneel, as we stand, as we pray, God, we believe that you can transform us, you can change us, you can help us tonight. Step out, young person. be bold right now. Let's come to the altar. Let's ask God to do it. I saw your hands. I'm praying for you. I'm believing for you. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.